Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right, what's up? Okay. Hey, first things first. I am not a Boston Celtics fan. I just saw a bunch of people like wearing jerseys and stuff today. Or, you know, if you're going with the European football kit, as they call them over there. So I saw a few of those floating around. My man in the back with the Kansas City Royals City Connect jersey. That's pretty sharp. Yeah, represent. That's slick. Plus, it says KC, which is like my name. So I always see that. I'm like, hey, that's like my name on your shirt. So that's why. This is actually, I had this in high school. I bought this in high school when I was a freshman. So this is like vintage. How about that? Larry Bird, represent. All right. Okay, here we go. So I'm going to open it up a little bit, and because we've already had somebody win from Meteor Shower, and then we've had somebody win from Atomic Tangerine, right? Okay, so this one's a little more involved, and this one it's going to require a little extra something. So this is what I'm looking for. The challenge, while you give the eight words while performing this challenge, is I need somebody, young woman, young man, who feels confident enough in their dancing skills, and you got to give me one of the following. You got to come up here, and you got to hit me. We got a video here. You gotta be confident enough. You gotta come up and you gotta hit either the Juby slide or you gotta hit the side shuffle emote from Fortnite while giving me those eight words. So who feels confident enough to come up here? And all right, so I see a bunch of people pointing back here. I see a bunch of people pointing right here. What? Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So, all right. Hey. Okay. So tell everybody your name.
Rowan.
Rowan. All right. You know one of these?
Yeah.
Which one do you know? This one on over here, Juby slide.
Sure.
You got that one? Okay. So, You just got to do it right here in place. You got to do it right here in place. Then I'll tell you what. If you can hit it all the way down the aisle after you're done, I'll give you an extra prize.
After?
Yeah, after. If you can do it and win the one prize, if you can hit it all the way down the aisle, I'll give you another one. Because I'm impressed. First time I saw this dance, I thought someone had, like, harnessed the power of, like, wizardry or something to be able to do that. It was so crazy. All right. So here we go. Let me give the list to our accountability.
Thanks.
All right. So you start. I'm gonna let you just like get into it, and then once you're ready, you gotta give me all eight. Okay, you ready? You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see what you got. Hit it. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Let's get them.
Ask, blessing, do, love, do part two, words, wisdom, boss fight.
Hey!
She got it. Oh, she's done. All right. Hey, come back and get a prize. Come back. It was a worthy effort, but I'll give you one. All right, come on. All right, what do you want? You want one of these? So you can have one of those, or you can have a Chipwich sticker, or you can have a Jones Soda Miracle Camp sticker, or you can have a Dodge This sticker, or you can have a Camp Button. You can put that on your backpack when you go back to school. You choose one. You take that one? All right, cool. Hey, let's give it up for Rowan and her sick dance moves. Go ahead. Good job. What's that? Yeah, go back. All right. Now here's the warning. Here's a warning. Here's a warning or a heads up. That won't be the last time we ask someone to give all the words while performing the dance move. So just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. All right. Hey, who hit the zip line today? All right. Who hit the blob today? All right. Who just took your free time and just like, dude, I'm just going to do a whole lot of nothing. I'm just going to just totally chill out. All right. No, nothing wrong with that. All right. Hey, let's keep moving because I want to make sure I get you guys to Girls Night, Guys Night. Okay. I want to make sure that you guys. So that it's not like, hey, remember we were going to have fun and that old bald guy talked like way too long and we had to like cut some of our stuff short. So let's go real quickly. Hey, everybody stay with me here. I'll get you out of here. Head to James chapter 4, verse 13. We've got a lot of verses to read through. We're gonna, like we've always been doing, we've been kind of picking one thing that we really want to focus in on here. We can always focus on lots of stuff in God's Word, but I'm just trying to give you kind of a key word in each passage here. So start with verse 14, and we're going to read probably about a dozen or so verses. Verse 13, picking up where we left off this morning. Look here, because remember, he was talking about us choosing which side we're going to do. Are we going to do what we want to do, or are we going to do what God wants to do? So this really makes sense where he follows up in verse 13. Hey, look here, you guys who say, today or tomorrow we're going to go into a certain town, and we're going to stay there a year, we're going to do business there, and we're going to make a profit. How do you know what your life is going to be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a little while, and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we'll live here and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own plans, and all boasting like that is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. That's a lot of what we've talked about this past week. The stuff that we're supposed to do and we don't do it, and the Bible says that's sin. So we got to be careful about those choices we make. Chapter 5, now we're into the last chapter, James. Look here, you rich people. Weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver have become worthless. The very wealth that you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. The treasure you have accumulated will stand as evidence against you on the day of judgment. For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The wages you held back cry out against you. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of heaven's armies. You have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying every desire. You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. Whoa, that is fun. That's a lot of fun stuff going on here. But it's kind of an expansion of that stuff that he was talking about. He's saying, hey, you guys are going to go out and you're going to say, hey, we're going to go and we're going to make this money and we're going to do all this fun stuff and we're going to make a big, big profit and we're going to hang out here and then we're going to move on and do the next thing. And then he's talking about, hey, you guys who do this stuff, and that's when he gets into like, all you rich people who have done this kind of stuff and you have done it at the expense of other people because you are serving that boss inside of you that says, do what you want and make yourself happy and make a bunch of money and all that kind of stuff. So he's talking about like this group of people. And he says, you know, we just talked about that boss fight going on inside of us and which boss are we going to serve? And then James points out in this next part saying, hey, if we're making these big plans for ourselves, these plans to get rich, we got to watch out. So it makes sense when we talk about question one, which is always, what? So our word for tonight is money. Our word for the night is money. Our word for the night is money. James is using this example of people, and this is what people would do back in these days, is they would go around from place to place, and they would, whatever type of business they were involved in, whether if they were making leather goods, or if they were making tents for people to sleep in, or if they were making pottery or whatever, and they would set up and they would sell that, and then they would move on to the next thing. They would just go around and try to make a living for themselves, and there's nothing wrong with that, but what James is talking about here is he's saying if your entire life is based around this idea of I just got to go out and get that bread, man. I got to go out and get that money. I got to get that scratch. I got to get all that cash while I can. Like if that's your entire plan and you're bragging about this is what you're going to do, man, you better slow down. Don't get too far ahead of yourself. You better watch out because we don't know what's going to happen that far ahead. We don't know what's going to happen a year from now. I think everybody in here is like, man, I'd really love to come back to camp next year. Well, maybe something like there's something happens with your family schedule and you can't make it to camp next year and that would stink. But sometimes things happen. Sometimes they're like, well, the only time we can go visit grandma down in Texas is the same week that you were going to go to camp. And so, sorry, we got to go do that. And it's okay. But for us to get ahead of ourselves, it's like 10 years from now, I'm going to be doing this and this and this. And James is like, bro, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. So just hang on. Don't get too far ahead of ourselves. And then he uses this example. He says, you are like the morning fog or the morning mist. Sometimes here at camp, depending on the weather, you can wake up and you can kind of see this layer of fog or mist out on the lake. And then after a little while, poof, it's gone. Anybody ever seen that out here before at camp? Yeah. So he uses that illustration. It's like, hey, you're like that fog that kind of happens for a little bit and then it's gone, meaning like how long our lives are. So here, let's use a visual to kind of put it in perspective how our lives, the lifespan that we have here on earth, measure against the history of humans here on earth. So we've got, this is terrible and it's inaccurate because we're just going to say, hey, if this line here represents how long humans have been on earth, it's not going to be accurate because not everybody agrees on this over here. Not everybody knows how long ago God created humans. So I'm just going to use this as kind of a, maybe like a rough estimate, but even then, this is a guess. I'm not right on any of this. So even if we say God put the first humans on the earth 10 to 15,000 years ago, you guys still with me? Reach up. Okay. Show me where exit number 2 is. Thank you. Okay. So if God put people on this earth 10 to 15,000 years ago, and this is the long timeline, the halfway point is right here, and then the stuff that we know from the Bible, so Moses is probably about 1,500 years before Jesus, roughly. This is when we start to kind of have some information from other cultures that we can compare against God's word and say, this is probably about the time when that stuff started to happen. And then we jump ahead, and then here's where Jesus is. And then we jump ahead another 1,700 years. And then this is like, you know, we just celebrated July 4th and Independence Day. So July 4th, 1776. And then we jump ahead another almost, you know, 170 years, and then here's when World War II happened, and then here this little bitty sliver is us. So it kind of makes sense when James says, man, your life is just this little bitty portion of time here on earth, so don't get so caught up in saying, hey, 10 years from now we're going to be doing this, 20 years from now we're going to be doing this and that. He's like, hold on. Don't get too far ahead of yourself and start bragging about stuff that you don't necessarily know what's going to happen. So, if we're looking at this whole big timeline up here, if this represents 10 to 15,000 years, and most of the time now they say if like the oldest person on earth like right now probably lives to somewhere between like 115 to 120 years old, which is like super duper old if you think about it. Well, in like the whole human history, if you make it to 120 years, you are still living less than 1% of human history. So do you got to see kind of what we're talking about? Like, we don't have a ton of time here on earth. I'm not trying to bum you out with that. But James is just saying, dude, we don't have a ton of time on earth, so let's not get too caught up in talking about all the stuff we're going to do tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. You need to say, well, you know what? If this is what God wants for us, we'll go and do these things. Does that make sense? So he's just like, don't get too braggy and too ahead of yourself. Let's not be too quick to get rich fast. Let's not start getting ahead of ourselves because we're driven by stuff and wanting money. Here's a video. Let's not be like this guy.
Longtime owner Mr. Krabs is opening a new restaurant called the Krusty Krab 2. First of all, congratulations, Mr. Krabs.
Hello, I like money.
What inspired you to build a second Krusty Krab right next door to the original?
Money.
Yeah. So let's not get too Mr. Krabby out here where we're like want money all the time and we're driven by that and we can't wait to get that next birthday card because we can't wait to see how much money grandma shoved in there and said have fun, go treat yourself. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves on that stuff and try to get rich too quick. Instead, God says, hey, let's say if this is what God wants us to do, we'll go out and do this kind of stuff. So here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to take this scripture and kind of like twist it to be funny or to be silly or to be kind of like a smart aleck or anything like that when you get home and your mom is just like, well, hey, are you going to go, you need to go do that. You need to go clean up that room. And you're just like, well, if the Lord wills, if Jesus wants me to go clean up that room, then I will do that. Here's a spoiler alert. Jesus wants you to clean your room because Jesus wants you to honor your parents. Sorry to be that guy. So Jesus wants you to clean up your room. He wants you to help out at home because he wants you to honor your parents who have given you life and are taking care of you. So don't be that person like, hey, you guys want to go get ice cream? Well, if the Lord wills, we'll go do that. That's not what he's talking about. He's just saying God might want you to be a successful money-making business person, but you need to remember, ask him for wisdom on that kind of stuff rather than just like, well, I'm going to go do this and I'm going to make money because that's what I want to do and I want to be rich. Well, just be careful with that kind of stuff. And so that kind of leads us to question two, which is always what? So what? So what? Why is this important, Kevin? Why is this in the scripture? Why is James being so concerned about us not being money driven? Don't put your trust in your stuff. Don't put all of your trust in your stuff. Now, I realize that most of you in here are dependent upon your parents to provide you with money or with things. Like, you're not necessarily independently wealthy. You're not working this long job most of the time, like, because it's pretty much illegal at your age. Maybe you're cutting a few grass, mowing a few lawns here or there to earn a few bucks, but you are dependent on somebody else. And James says, let's not put too much trust in our stuff. So for you all, your stuff can be your money, your stuff can be your abilities, your stuff can be your possessions. Don't put too much trust in those things, because what happens if something happens to those things? What happens when all of your money runs out? What happens to if something happens with like your abilities? We'll get to that here in a minute. What happens if your possession, your prized possession, what happens, Lord, may it never be, but what happens if like the Nintendo Switch dies on you or the PS5 dies on you and you're just like, no! I've been away at camp all week and I haven't played it. I got home and I hit power and it won't do anything. Why? Like, what happens when that thing just decides to quit on you for a while? So don't put too much trust in that, because if something happens to it, then we have like put all of our faith and our trust in the wrong thing. All right, I'm going to put a picture up here. Next slide. Does anybody know who this is? Okay, I didn't expect you to. So this guy, yeah, he's a basketball player. So this guy's name is Harry Giles. And about 8 years ago, 2016, Harry Giles, well, it'd been 2015, so going into his senior year of high school, Harry Giles was the number one basketball player in America for high school. Harry Giles was ranked the number one basketball player going into his senior year. He had gotten all of the scholarships, all of the big name schools were like, hey, Harry, why don't you come play basketball with us? We'll give you a scholarship. Come play for us. We want you on our team. So any big basketball school you can think of had offered Harry Giles to come play basketball for them. Here's what happens. Harry Giles, the number one player in the country, commits to play basketball at Duke University with the number two basketball player in America at that time, was a guy named Jason Tatum. So the number one and number two guys were both going to go play basketball at the same school. About eight, maybe 10 games into Harry Giles' his senior year of basketball, he tears his ACL in his knee, which, if you're a basketball player, that or rupturing your Achilles tendon is like the worst injury you can get as a basketball player, because that means you're done. That means you're done. That means you're going to have to sit out the rest of the year. You're probably going to have to sit out part of the next year. But he still ended up going to Duke. He sat out several games at the beginning of the year. I don't think he played his first game until halfway through his freshman season there at Duke University. But by that point, this was the second big injury he had gotten on one of his knees. And so he isn't playing very much. He's not getting a lot. He's playing a little bit because he's coming back from a major injury. And so long story short, Harry Giles was in the same group of freshmen as this next slide here. He was in with these guys. That's Jason Tatum over there on the left. That's De'Aaron Fox up there at the top. And then that's Bam Adebayo down there at the bottom. These are all guys who were in the same freshman class as Harry Giles. And if you guys who follow basketball, you all know who these guys are, right? I mean, Jason Tatum just won an NBA championship. Bam Adebayo is on the USA basketball team getting ready to play for the Olympics. De'Aaron Fox, if he wasn't playing at Sacramento, everybody would know who he is because he's awesome. But all these guys are making millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars playing basketball in the NBA. But we don't know about Harry Giles because he got hurt. Now, I'm not saying that Harry Giles is like, yeah, man, I'm going to be awesome, and I'm going to go to Duke, and then I'm going to go to the NBA, and I'm going to make $100 bazillion, and I'm going to be the greatest NBA player they've ever seen. But I bet he wasn't thinking, hey, about a little bit into my senior year, I'm going to mess my knee up, and it's going to totally change the trajectory of my career. Harry Giles ended up getting picked late in the NBA draft, and he's kind of bounced around a few teams here and there, but he's not these dudes. Because none of y'all are going to like buy basketball cards hoping you can pull a Harry Giles out of the pack, right? But you guys are like going after these dudes. So things change. Stuff happens. And that's kind of what James is saying. It's like, man, let's not get too attached to a certain thing, because what happens if that thing goes wrong? What happens if that thing goes away? Then what's going to happen? I've got a really, really good friend, a really, really good friend who after college got a really, really good job and made a lot of money. And I used to be jealous when I'd go home and visit, because every time I went home and saw him, he had something new. He had new this. He got a new car. He got a new house. He got a new, like, most tricked out, awesome Apple computer I've ever seen in my life. He got all this new stuff. And I was just like, I was broke. I was broke at the time. I didn't have $10 in my wallet ever. And I was just like, why has he got everything? Well, you know what happened to him? He's got really bad kidneys. And he started having kidney stones all the time. Anybody know anybody who's ever had a kidney stone? It is like one of the worst, like most painful things that you can, and he would have them all the time. So what happened was like a snowball effect. He was always having these kidney stones, which was keeping him home, and he couldn't go to work, and then he couldn't go to work, so then he couldn't earn money, and then he couldn't earn money, and then he couldn't make payments on stuff, and then guess what happened with his stuff? It all went away. It all went away. And he has been trying to get back to working regularly for like the past 15 years now. So I'm not trying to like be a bummer or a Debbie Downer here this evening, but we got to be careful about putting too much trust in our stuff, because what happens if our stuff goes away? We got nothing to fall back on. And James is like, just be careful about making predictions about tomorrow, because things might change. God might change your path. God might call you to do something else. So Just be careful about this stuff. Which kind of leads us to question three. Now what? What do I do with this? What do I do with this information? And this is our challenge question this evening. Where in my life do I need to put trust in God? Some of you all are incredible athletes, and I'm not trying to like scare you on thinking, oh, I'm going to get hurt or anything like that. Man, stuff happens. But do I put my trust in God that says, you know what? God, even if something were to happen and I were to get like a, you know, I were to get something that kind of kept me out for a couple of weeks because I got hurt, because I tweaked something during practice or whatever, I'm still going to trust in you. I'm still going to put my trust in you. Or God, you know what? Maybe if something happens at home and we don't, like we used to be able to go do fun stuff, but now we haven't been able to because maybe someone changed a job or because somebody, maybe a parent is doing something different. And so maybe the pay is a little bit different. So we don't get to do all the fun stuff that we used to do. God, I'm going to trust you that you have bigger plans for me, that this is for a reason, and I'm going to seek your wisdom on this kind of stuff. So where am I putting my trust in these things? Where in my life do I need to put my trust in God? So we're going to have a worship team is going to come close us out, and we're going to sing a song about where do we put our trust. So you guys can come on up here whenever you guys are ready. And to say, I'm going to put my trust in God, the one who never fails. Because the money, hear me out, guys. The stuff will fail. The stuff will eventually run out. Even if somebody in this room becomes all world in track or becomes all world in baseball, you know what's going to happen eventually? You're going to get old like me. And you ain't going to be able to run a 800-yard dash. So you will get old eventually, and then you're going to wake up and be like, ah, this knee hurts. Ah, I can't run out and get the mail like I used to. Things change. So where do I put my trust? I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to close out in this worship song. God.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.